know, and we hear it here every night on the program, the disillusionment that people have got in our political system. There's no doubt that people are not happy with the major parties. It's the reason why, say, Pauline Hanson, for example, is gaining popularity in Western Australia, where she could influence the outcome of the state election there. Most certainly in Queensland, where we've heard from Campbell Newman, the ex-premier, that he believes that she may have 29 or 30% of the vote in the Queensland next state election that'll happen there, and also even at a federal level. Now, what happens here? Because if you were to get younger people in particular engaged in our political system, you'd have people who really do trust the system. And that's the reason why around the world you've seen people react in, you know, almost anti-political ways to try and get some change in their communities, because they recognise that the current political system somehow is not making key decisions. Well, one man who has actually stepped up to the plate, and he often does, is one of Australia's foremost business builders, and that's really where he's very good. That is Andrew Forrest, not only a visionary, but somebody who can put it into place. What he's calling for is the appointment of a credibility commissioner to keep our politicians to account. And I'm pleased to say, from the very north of Australia, with a maybe crackly phone line, but let's get him on the line right now. Many thanks for your time, Andrew.
You too, Ross. Thank you.
Okay, just to explain a couple of things to me. Number one is a credibility commissioner. How do you believe that this could help people have more trust in our politicians?
In our politicians, in our media, in everyone, even like me, Ross, who participates in the political or public open debate, people who have the opportunity to influence public opinion, I think must be held to account for their truth or half-truth or non-truth, which they say. And because we've been a little slack on this over the last decade or two, you've seen particularly the youth of Australia, but large parts of Australia, Ross, drifting away from the political process, drifting away from the debate of their country, of their home nation, and saying, well, just really can't trust anything, so we're not going to. And that is that disengagement, particularly about this, is a tragedy to the future of Australia. We'll end up like America, where you've got a divided country, where if you listen to CNN, you think that the president is about to be impeached, thrown out, and if you listen to Foxtel, you think his face is about to be carved up on the great cliffs alongside Lincoln. So we actually have to bring reliability into the statements of all our public commentators, politicians, media alike.
Okay, so give me some examples of where you think the political system has failed, the key issues that you think that people feel as though they've been let down by the messages that they've heard, by the quality of the debate, and even by the lack of action by the political classes.
Okay, well, let's just take out the fact that we're arguing over energy prices in Australia. Now, there's one side of the argument which says energy prices should be held up because that will encourage in sustainable energy, non-fossil fuel sources of energy supply. That's all great, but that's a half-truth. The public need to know, well, that might happen, but over the period of time before it does happen, if it does happen, you will have high cost of energy, therefore lower standard of living. You can't actually get out of that. That's the truth. If you argue for higher taxes because you could say, well, I want the tax base to be fairer, whatever that is, then argue for higher taxes, but come out and say, well, what we're really looking for is a higher government income, but that will be an exact and equal retraction from the economy. You'll see the economy shrink and you'll see the unemployment queues grow. So it's those half-truths. You know, I've heard a lot of debate here in WA about the penalty rates on Sunday. You know, yeah. Let's argue that we should pay everyone $50 an hour on Sundays. You know, we sound like great guys and we're really looking after the little guy when we say that, but it's a half-truth. We should also have to say, pay everyone $50 an hour if they can get work, but a lot of restaurants will shut, so a lot more people will be completely out of work, full stop, not get paid anything. They're the half-truths, which I think is so dangerous and which really disunite our great country.
I'll tell you, here's the interesting thing, because if we go back to energy prices again, this is the bizarre part about this. And you're in an area of the world right now in Western Australia that produces a lot of Australia's energy. You know, a lot of that does go overseas. WA sensibly has reserved some of it for its own industry. But very many parts of Australia are short of gas, are short of electricity, because either it's been priced out of the market or it's been sent overseas. Again, it doesn't make an awful lot of sense that we are a net energy exporter, the biggest exporters of liquefied natural gas in the world, and here at home we have gas shortages. These types of things make no sense to me and to the ordinary person under any circumstances. That's the reason why the politicians somehow are called to account by the general public.
Exactly. So, Ross, let me ask you, where is the biggest gas reserve in the world? It would be Dubai or Qatar or the Middle East. Actually, no. That would be right in our own mother country, Australia. We have the largest gas reserves in the world, yet we still have high energy prices. We're exporting gas while parts of our great country black out. It's just ridiculous.
Same thing also, Andrew, when we go to coal, say, for example. Australia is the largest coal exporter in the world, and yet for one reason or another, we don't want to use the coal here in Australia, and as a result of not using that coal and not building electricity generation, we suddenly find ourselves potentially short of electricity. It seems as though somehow we've put the horse before the cart in these, or the cart before the horse in these situations.
Yes, it does, Ross, and I think this comes about because being misled by half-truths or sins of omission. And if we called to account our commentators, our politicians, our media, with a simple credibility commission, which once a week or once a month would publish statements which were blatantly not true and correct them so that the public could say, okay, that is a valid correction, thank you, or indeed for a half-truth, which is, of course, Ross, the most dangerous lie, complete the other half of that truth. It's very hard with a half-truth to say it's not true, but, you know, then say, well, actually, it is true. Well, no, it's not completely true. It's a half-truth. Well, that's where the public's confidence just breaks down. And so I say, bring in a credibility commissioner appointed by government, paid for, but completely independent. It have a very small staff, but a powerful body to immediately correct half-truths, to immediately correct mistruths, and allow the public to have faith in the political media independent commentator like me system. Because right now, as you can see, the country is dividing. We don't want to go like North America. We do want to have a legislative, parliamentary, political, media, independent commentator approach which we can trust.
I'll tell you what, always great to have in the program. I know you're busy. I know there's a lot on in your life at the moment. It's always good that you spend your time and have a chat with us here on Money News. And Andrew Forrest, just good to have you on the program. We appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Ross. Speak soon.